Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Saturday, and I have no idea what that means, Flobo, but if we're going to review the WWE King and Queen of the Ring, it's the after show for Wrestling Inc., and if we got a show for you, we've got King Gunther, we've got Queen Nia Jax, and we also got a new championship match announced for Clash of the Castle, but before we get into all of that, allow me to introduce the people here today. I'm Jack Farmer in the catbird seat, as we were once told it was called. And yes, I'm with Flobo Boyce. Flobo, we don't get to do a lot of these shows together. I'm glad to get to chat with you here on a beautiful afternoon in California.
Yeah, I was about to say that. It's been a while since I was in live for the yes, but we have a back-to-back thing happening this weekend. So this is a kind of our night one, our wrestling after show mania.
Yeah, we're going to be on tomorrow as well for the after show for AEW Double or Nothing. And it's so funny, the difference between the two, because now we're bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. The weekend just started. It's still the afternoon. By the time we're done, we're still going to have the day ahead of us. But tomorrow, we'll probably be finishing up tired after a long weekend of watching wrestling. It'll probably be 3 a.m. by the time we're done recording.
Money's worth.
You're going to get to see two very different sides of both of us, I think, over the course of 2 days. I think it's going to be a fun time, though. Everyone in the chat, I hope you're looking forward to it. Flobo, are you looking forward to tomorrow before we chat about today?
Absolutely. You know, Double or Nothing is, and I always ask this question, but it's the closest event, I think, to Starrcade for AEW, so it's going to be a good one. I know the build has been a bit wonky, but that said, you're never left going, I want more. You're like, this is the best complete afternoon. I got my snacks. I watched 5 hours wrestling. That's what I'm on.
Yeah, we've got I want to give some time for everyone to settle in and find their seats before really getting into today's show. And what a show it was. I really enjoyed King and Queen of the Ring. I thought it was a good show, but I was thinking about something that happened. And I want everyone in the chat to give me their thought. Not something that happened, but something just I realized time passes and things, you know, new things come along that replace old things. And you and I, we're of a certain age. We grew up. And you'd go around and everyone would do the DX crotch chops or they would do the NWO 2 sweet. Now, woo! To this day, as grown men, we will still hit the suck it when we need to. We will still throw up the 2 sweet.
Why'd you say it like that? We'll still hit the suck it. I'm all the way to the scratch.
Hit the suck it. And okay. Then... I was thinking about how generational what we've seen over the past few years is, do you think in 20 years there's going to be people our age approaching each other at wrestling shows, throwing up the one at each other, even after the bloodline is long gone? Do you think that's going to be a generational thing? And everyone in the chat, I want your thoughts as well. But Flobo, do you think this will take the place of this over the years?
I think it's one of two. It's going to be the one, and then everyone's saying, yeah. I mean, I think those will be the two things we're going to be saying for a lot of years past when those guys step down at the ring.
Yeah, Maestro Dog saying, I got two words for you. I mean, can you hear anyone say that phrase and not answer it in your head?
Yeah, the gun club.
Guns. Even every time they say it, I feel like I want to say it. I feel like they're trolling us really with there, but yeah, we're getting a lot of folks in the chat here. George says none of the above.
Wow.
I don't know about that, George. I think I disagree. But yeah, we got a lot of folks coming in here. It's always interesting to see who is here on the off days. You know what I mean? The people who are here not on the usual shows. And I want to thank everyone who is rolling through for our weekend shows. This was something a lot of people asked for a long time. They wanted us to do these after PLE, after pay-per-view shows. And yeah, we weren't sure what kind of turnout we'd get. It turns out we do get a good turnout. Somewhere that we're looking to see if there'll be a good turnout is at SummerSlam. Now, they said 2026 SummerSlam in Minnesota, 2-day event. I got two questions for you. First off, let's talk about the 2-day thing. I know you probably discussed this a little bit before, but what are your thoughts on the 2-day thing? Do you like the idea of SummerSlam going 2 days? Should it stick to just one show? I know WWE Reality would do 7 days if they could, but what are your thoughts on the 2-day event?
Oh, before I answer your question, have a shout out to those people out there in the United Kingdom and other time zones. I mean, that is amazing coming here on weekends. So
the one and only James Winter as well.
Yeah, exactly. It's winter's coming. No, look, if you guys know me at all, you'll know that SummerSlam is my favorite event of the year, more than Mania, more than a Rumble, and I am torn. On one hand, I was concerned that SummerSlam was kind of going by the wayside. You know, Survivor Series got War Games and WrestleMania got 2 nights. And I always say the Royal Rumble is the biggest night of the year for casual and lapsed wrestling fans. There's people who don't watch wrestling all year will get their friends together to watch people go over the top rope. So I'm glad that someone decided SummerSlam needs its own little kind of thing too, having it almost like a summer festival vibe. But at the flip side of that, 2 nights after Mania having 2 nights, both expansions of this, makes things a little bit difficult because, like I was saying last night on the Saturday on the SmackDown After Show, when an event is 1 day, like this year's in Cleveland, you can fly in the Friday, watch the interview the Saturday, and be on the next flight out on the Sunday. But once you tell me it's 2 nights and SmackDown right now, so currently on Fridays, and Raw are be part of that situation, you've now made it a destination. And can wrestling as a business support that now? I know WWE is on fire right now, but will it be on fire in 2026 is my question.
Have you been living under a rock?
Yes, I have.
WWE's been on fire right now. Nelly Belly, I think, with a great, great comment here. Time for Wrestling Inc. Premium live event. I think we should host one here.
Yeah, just give us money. That'd be great.
I also Sammy Diaz saying Jack's beard is fire. Thank you so much for throwing that out. I got to grow it out in case I was worried about my betting with Jimmy Corderas. We put a lot on the line. And in true wrestling fashion, we bet our picks. We bet our predictions, who had the best predictions.
Oh.
And in true pro wrestling fashion, we got a draw. So we got the
schmoz.
We had a dusty finish. So in true pro wrestling fashion.
That is awful.
I think, and everyone in the chat, in the comments, please let me know if I'm right or wrong. I think if we tie, then I should have to do nothing, and Jimmy should still have to come on into work with just the mustache.
I disagree. Hold
I think that's that just seems no, fair.
It seems natural. The opposite of fair. It's quite the opposite of fair.
I do think that I want to ask you. This is the real question I want to ask you. Now, I find it so strange that we've announced 2026 SummerSlam, but we have not yet announced 2025 SummerSlam. And this was definitely something that we have, definitely something they made clear on the show. Commentary brought that up multiple times. Like, hey, we still don't have 2025. What's up with that? What do you think's going on there? Do you think they have something big up their sleeves that they're going to announce? Is there just, they're still working out? Where is 2025 SummerSlam? The moon? Yeah.
Imagine Noam Dar with the strap. No,
I love that you said that. Yes,
hello, hear me now. No, 18 hours ago, I was a bit confused. I go, if I'm 2025 site or location, does that drive the price up or drive it down? Knowing full well there's going to be an even bigger 2-night thing there afterwards, but the fact they're mentioning it in Saudi Arabia, and I remember a couple weeks ago there were rumors about the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia wanting bigger events. I mean, if I am a betting man, which I'm not because I like keeping the hair that I have, I would say next year will probably be in Riyadh or Jeddah, right? I mean, it makes sense. It's a bigger event. It's one that it kind of lines up in the season. And granted, it'll be super hot in the Middle East at the time, but why not move SummerSlam and see if the Big Four can work in the Middle East?
You know, I wonder if maybe the idea, I feel like you're, I'm with you. We've got Maestro Dog saying France. France, why obviously, not? I think has proved that they deserve some big shows. But I wonder with them announcing the two-night event already for 2026, I wonder if that kind of puts some pressure on whoever's bidding for 2025 to pay more to get a two-night event. Because if you're 2025, now you're like, well, I want a two-night event. I want all that extra income for my city. But then that means WWE can say, well, you got to pay even more. So I think it adds a little bit of leverage of like, look, we want bigger money for this as well. So it might be a smart move here. I wonder if we're going to see this more in the future of, hey, 2037 WrestleMania is going to be in wherever, Jupiter. But
wow.
Now you can bid for these different... Jupiter, man, imagine how hard you're going to hit the mat in Jupiter.
Yeah, imagine that. No, I'm with you, but like in advertising or marketing, they would call that a make good, right? Minneapolis was supposed to be a candidate for next year's WrestleMania. It ultimately went to Las Vegas. And what better way to satiate that and say, hey, listen, we have the second biggest event in our calendar by their estimation, or third. Why not we do something special for you in 2 years from now and it be the first of its kind? So I don't think anyone can buy their way, unless you're the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, to a two-night event. But that said, that is a big gaping hole in their schedule. And I think it's going to be something that everyone's going to ask about every press conference until it actually gets resolved.
Yeah, I think that we got it. Yeah, it'll be very interesting to see. We got a lot of folks here in the chat, and I want to give them a shout out. As always, I mean, we've got Jesse Pope coming through. And Kenny, I don't know if I can say your first name. I absolutely apologize. Lock and foe, Kenny. I'm probably saying that wrong. I apologize, but I definitely appreciate you being here. And of course, Ed Shields, LFG. What does that stand for, Flobo? Do you know?
Let's freaking go.
That's fair enough.
I was going to say something else. I was like, wait a minute.
Wants to respect Lyra's abs. Everyone looked great tonight. Carrie Johnson, good afternoon, my dudes. Good to see you, Carrie. Tori coming through as well. Laura Rock. Coming through. John Johnson says, great to have a post show, guys. And I got my Jack Farmer, oh yes, t-shirt in the mail today.
What a plant. So how much you pay this guy to say that?
Like, John really? Johnson, I appreciate the order. Merch. Thank you so much. You can get those still at jackcfarmer.com. Still some available. They are absolutely, truly limited edition shirts. I printed them up and I'm never going to print them again. In fact, Lobo. Since you asked, I happen to have one right here.
I didn't ask at all, actually.
If you want to buy one,
I don't.
Get the, why would I? Yes, t-shirt available now at Jack.
You live 8 miles apart. I don't have to buy your merch. Like it's fine. I don't. Why would I do that?
But yeah, J.R. Smith is here as well. George Bartley, Maestro Dog, we called out a few times. Chill McTalker, I want to give a shout out to. Is usually a listener, but not able to join live because of time zones. But Chill is here. So happy to see you, Chill. Of course, Tommy O in the chat. And Jose here lurking for King of the Ring. Shout out to all my lurkers here. James Winter, a good pal. Good to see you. Beer Money and, of course, Nelly Belly. PD Crumbs. I haven't seen you before, PD Crumbs. Glad that you're here. Brianne Milligan, oh, lots of folks. Ebony, always good to see you as well, Ebony. And everyone else, KOD coming through. Hope all's well with you, KOD. And a new name here, King of, I don't know how to pronounce that. How do you say it?
Hueco. King of Hueco Mundo.
Hueco Mundo?
Yeah, Mundo.
Mundo.
Yeah.
Like Johnny.
Johnny Mundo, yeah.
But very cool. Good to see all of you guys here. And then Tut Graph here says, I thought I had a commercial-free YouTube account.
We all thought we did. Wrestling Inc. will say, no, thank you, sir.
It's called integrated marketing.
Yeah, exactly. An ad-supported experience here.
I'm going to get an email from Wrestling Inc. on Monday morning.
Jeez.
Well, thank you guys so much again. Thank you to our lurkers. Like, comment, share, subscribe. Show a lot of support for this one because that'll bring us back for future premium live events. Petey Cummins says, I usually listen to morning hours of the show due to work at 4 a.m. from Long Island. Oh, good. Thank you, Petey. I appreciate that as well. let's talk about our show that we just watched, this event. Flobo, before we, the nitty-gritties, I just got to say, what yet again, American fans, we have been slapped in the face with how we're supposed to act as a crowd. I get a little embarrassed for us when I see these crowds showing out. Flobo, this crowd was incredible.
Well, you hate what, Chance? What? Yeah, there's a little bit of that. There's definitely a little bit of showmanship, and sometimes it's for the greater good. You know, after Backlash France, everyone's now singing Randy Orton's theme song. It feels like that's becoming a thing now. But yeah, these international shows, and I can see why they want to do it, just blows your mind. It makes a card on paper that could have been seen as a filler pay-per-view, a premium live event, seem that much more special because of the live responses.
Yeah. Very, very great crowd here. Also, I saw the chat. I want to throw out there. I think it was Nelly Belly through asked if that's Bob Ross behind me. That is Bob Ross. A little Bob Ross.
That's merch I would buy. Can I buy that?
You got to win it at a carnival game, like I did, like a man.
Okay. Dang.
by knocking over some bottles after throwing a heater of a ball at him.
Cheating.
We got a pre-show match, Indy Hartwell, Candice LeRae versus Jade and Bianca. Candice LeRae stacks Jade and Bianca, pinning them both without even having to make a tag. What an outcome. Obviously, that's not what really happened here.
I was like, yeah, wait a minute. The hot tag to Jade, man.
No, of course, Jade, Cargill, Bianca Belair, they get the win, use a new finishing move. This is the I'm looking at this tag team, Flobo, and clearly superstars. I want your thoughts of this match, thoughts of these teams, and is there a team that can beat Jade and Bianca without them having some kind of inner turmoil?
Yeah, I want to ask that first question, the last question first. The answer is no. On paper, they're way too powerful. And so the only way this works is that if you show a little bit of cracks in the armor, and we're seeing that, right? Jade Cargill, her hot tags are sometimes not as effective as they first were. Bianca was still nursing that knee injury from last night's episode of SmackDown, which cost her spot in the Queen of Ring tournament. But that said, the match itself was pretty good. Jade Cargill is growing day by day, and I think they're doing it in an organic way. Bianca is definitely switching onto the role of mentor. I know they're trying to put over the fact she's more fun-loving and having a good time, but you got to give it up for Indy Hartwell and Candice LeRae. I think they were number one contenders for the last three champions in that division. They lost every single time, but then they make sure the matches themselves give just a little bit to pull from. I think Indy still has a good future, even in defeat, and Candice LeRae should be the next person to have her own learning tree as AEW reference.
Beer Money pitches Charlotte and Tiffany as a team. You think that's got the star power that could take on a Jade and Bianca?
Yeah, star power, but you have to give me the right story. I feel like Charlotte's in a class of her own. She is a queen. I would never put her in the tag team division if I had the book. And Tiffy Time is not making a lot of friends backstage on camera. I mean, not a friends on the show. So it'd be kind of hard for me to believe an alliance with Tiffany. But if that were to be the case, yes, take my money.
I'm really enjoying the story of Indy kind of turning into a jerk because Candice LeRae is being a jerk and sort of teaching her the way of being a jerk. But I want to ask you about Jade Cargill's development so far with WWE. And debuting stars can be a tricky thing. It seems easy, but it can be very tricky. WWE obviously took their time with her and has rolled her out in a way that she's now been able to be a champion. She's in a tag team. Do you like how they're handling this? Should they have said, look, she's a star, put her on her own? Do you think they should have held her back? NXT, just now that we're sort of seeing how this has played out.
Yeah.
Hindsight 2020. What are your thoughts on it?
It's ultimately the right move, but it hasn't paid dividends quite yet. I mean, it'd be a very attractive thing to have her come out and just be a continuation of what she did in Jacksonville. And no one will fault her for doing that because Jade looks like nobody else. She moves like nobody else. And there's definitely a personality people can get behind. I mean, she is, as we say a lot on the show, a specimen, a physical specimen. But that said, when it comes down to characters we buy into long term, the ones we remember when we were kids, the ones we tell our friends about when we're having nostalgia moments, are people who look a certain way, who have a distinct moveset, who sell very nice, could show the adversity, to show the emotions. I think those were the things that Jade needed to work on. The time of her not being on TV was worth it. And we're seeing that payoff now. Not quite full potential, but I like what I'm seeing.
Yeah. Adonde is saying, no, it's great for Jade. It's like when you shadow a coworker at a new job. I agree. I think it's, I think it's because everyone always says, like, yeah, just come in and have the undefeated streak or whatever. But I think that that's kind of stale. And then once the undefeated streak is over, who are they? What are they? You kind of set them up for a situation where after that, I mean, even Goldberg, who I was such a fan of Goldberg. Once that undefeated streak ended, it was like, well, what is Goldberg now?
Absolutely.
What is
absolutely. I think Goldberg is the best example of someone who took a winning streak breaking and then still finding a lane for himself. But you look at Vladimir Kozlov, Masha Slamovich, like when those streaks were over, the mystique went with them. And I think Jade is way too valuable of a superstar to do that. I was actually going to have her loss me early and have her try to say, okay, I'm in a new league, let me adjust my thing. But again, she's in the tag team division instead. But I think she needs, for this to work, for the Jade project to work, she cannot be tied to someone just being someone who runs roughshod over the entire roster forever.
Yeah, and she's an absolute star. I think looking back, they did absolutely the right thing with what they've been doing so far. Of course, again, there's always, we'll see 2020, but that, you know, in a year, we'll look back and maybe have different opinions. But for now, I think that they've absolutely crushed that. And also now Bianca has sort of new life in what she's doing because she was sort of in that situation where she was like, well, if she's not the champion, what is she doing? Well, now she has something else to do, which I think is really important.
Side question. Do you like the fact they were matchy-matchy? I know they had different mirror panels, but the same shade of pink. Is that cool with you?
I think every tag team should be matchy-matchy. I hate when they're not matchy-matchy.
Purist.
I just it drives me nuts. If every other team in every other sport dresses matchy-matchy, why wouldn't they dress matchy-matchy?
Fair enough. I like it. Old man Jack.
Now, it's really frustrating when they don't dress matchy-matchy, but a person from the other team is dressed to match one of the people that is, you know what I mean? Like, that's always frustrating.
You mean like when the opponents have similar colors?
Yeah.
Yeah. That ticks me off. Cause like that never happens in combat sports ever.
Yeah. Like if Bianca was the only one wearing pink, but then an Indy was wearing pink, I'd be like, this is so frustrating. I hate this. Like, I'd be so upset.
How was the match? I made a snack out of defiance. Yeah.
Like sometimes I make fun of our colleague Jimmy Corderas for getting hung up on some referee moves. I'm like, just let it go. But that's what those things like.
Oh yeah.
So frustrating.
My thing is pump anything with a pump handle, I'll get mad. Like, why would you stop and have someone take your arm? This is dumb. Yeah, I'm totally.
What is in the chat and in the comments? Let us know what's the thing that drives you nuts that probably doesn't drive anyone else nuts, but really drives you nuts. Let me know. I want to know what your little pet peeves are.
One count.
Ed Shield says Jade looked great today. Boyce just said Vladimir Kozlov.
Yeah, he had that win streak though, bro.
he was for a while. He was cooking for a little bit.
Yeah.
everyone should match like the Conquistadors, Baby Ice says.
Wow, that's a deep cut. Talk about deep cut.
something happened early in the show. We got the QR code that came up, and I had a chance to talk to you about this a little bit. I know you had some words for it on the SmackDown after show, which everyone should be tuning into. But I'm curious about this. Like, and this is one of those things that's starting to bug me a little bit is commentary. They talk about it and they talk about how it's strange and whatnot, but I don't know how you do this the right way, but it feels like they're kind of underselling the fact that something is hijacking a billion-dollar company's feed on a weekly basis. I feel like that should be a bigger concern for the people on the show. But at the same time, I don't think they should hijack the whole show for that moment. What are your thoughts on just how it's being presented from the commentary standpoint, because they're the only ones really selling it at this point.
Yeah, what do you want them to do? Mr. Pierce, get out here. There's something on my monitor. Like, it's a hot thing. It's like, it's something that's cool, but no one's really engaging with. And then you have to say, oh, by the way, it's kind of kooky, I guess. It's an odd situation, because if I make a QR code, I'm making sure everyone sees it. You know how work that is, you know?
Isn't that just a website? You type in, it gives you one.
That's two moves, man. That's two steps. No, I guess
I don't know what they should do, because you're right. They can't hide. Like, they can't take 15 minutes of talking about this. But I just think if this happened on the UFC on a regular basis, this would be a huge, they would be very upset. Like, they wouldn't just be like, ooh, craziness is going on at UFC 303, right? You know, or
they would say that, would they? No, I mean, I understand where you're coming from, and I know they have to sell some things, but it's kind of like, man, they kind of put themselves in the corner. I really felt like it was a situation where the kids were not grasping it as much, and they said, let's nudge it just quite a bit. And now they're like, yeah, now you put Michael Cole as like the, hey, I noticed this, right, Corey?
Yeah, it's, you know, Dante saying, would you want Triple H to address it? I don't know where they're going with the story, but actually, yeah, I would like him to say something about, hey, you know, we've noticed that there's been something going on, our technical team, or even Pierce saying, our technical team is looking into it. We're going to make sure it stops. Something, I don't know, just to make it seem like it's a big deal. Tutgraph says, Rey Mysterio 619 always bugs me. It's so accommodating.
Yeah, because no one goes in ropes any other way. Like, never in a match anyone's in the ropes like that.
That is kind of like, true. I love Rey Mysterio though, so I'm like okay with it. But yeah, I get where you're coming from with that. And then Baby Ice says Cole thinks it's just the return of Retribution.
Shut it down. Oh no, it's Slapjack.
So now, 24 minutes into the show, we're gonna get into the actual start of the show, and that was Becky Lynch and Liv Morgan for the Raw Championship. A really competitive matchup comes down to Dominic Mysterio.
The Raw Championship, sir.
Becky Lynch.
It's the World Heavyweight Women's Championship.
The World Raw. Championship.
Yes.
The Raw.
Yeah, the Raw. No, it's not for Raw. It's just the World Championship.
It's the Raw's Championship.
No, it's not. That was the old title. Now it's the World Heavyweight Championship.
It's the World Heavyweight Champ. The Raw World Championship. What is the and SmackDown's the WWE Women's Champ. The World Championship. Becky Lynch, Liv Morgan for the World Championship. Really competitive matchup here. Comes down to Dominic Mysterio coming out, trying to help Becky with the steel chair, but Morgan uses it instead, and she is your new world champion. Later, yeah. Becky says she wants a rematch on Monday. This is, between these two, I got to say, I feel like this is the best Liv Morgan has been, I think. She took a while for me to click with. I feel like she's peaking at like the perfect time. I thought this was one of her better matchups. And I think that Becky Lynch always delivers in big match moments. I thought this was a great way to start the show.
First of all, I'm only telling you, Jack, please don't have me removed from future shows. But
what was that? Oh, Flobo.
Shut up. I got to shut up. So Liv Morgan, man, I was with you. I think I was not so much over her. I was over the revenge tour. I'm not sure what that meant, but she was going to go stop in like cities that the wrestling wasn't going to be. She's going to be in like Quad Cities or like in Vancouver hanging out. But the match itself was pretty solid. Becky Lynch was in a very unenviable position. Rhea Ripley had to relinquish that title. She won via Battle Royal, which is to me the weakest way to become a champion. I know old school guys would disagree, but she had to carry it as if she beat like people in a tournament herself. The match was pretty solid. Liv really showed out. Becky took a lot of damage, but that Dominic Mysterio thing about I'm going to make sure Liv gets the championship, and then she does, can have complications that mommy won't like.
So this was, of course, the story here. By the way, you say old school guys aren't going to like winning the title. They're going to disagree with winning the title in Rumble. Yeah, old school, I think you go back to like the 2000s, and I think you could win the title just about anyway back in the 2000s. Yeah. At this point.
It's like weekly, wasn't it? Naked VD, yeah, I think 20-time like, European champ.
Yeah, so... I think old school guys are going to be pretty happy regardless of how people can win the championship. But my big question here is, Dom tried to help Becky.
Did he?
That's.
I walked a little bit. I'm sorry.
Yes. That's my thing. And everyone, I got a feeling Dom wanted Liv Morgan to win. I think that's the story we're going with. Now that seems to be a few people are predicting. But do you think that's right? Do you think we're going to see a team up of Dom and Liv?
Man, I just finished WWE Undisputed on WWE 2K24. So the answer is yes. It really feels like Liv Morgan seems to be an easier challenge for Rami if Dominic's faithful. Or is he? And if he's not, then it's time for a new mommy. So I think that was the plan all along, because if that wasn't going to be the plan, wouldn't Dom hit up Becky and say, I have an idea for the match tonight? That's my thing. So I do think there's some shenanigans and malarkey involved in that one.
Yeah, Donde says it's all part of the plan. DJ David Bunny says Dominic knew Becky wouldn't use the chair. A lot of people may be thinking that. I want to talk one last thing about this before we go on is I know there's some thoughts about the wardrobe of the women in these events. And I got to say, I feel a little bit like what the women wear to these shows in Saudi Arabia has almost become like a red carpet thing. Like, I'm actually kind of excited to see how they change up their gear for these shows. What are your thoughts on this? I thought everyone, and not to step on what we're going to see in the future, I thought Lyra Valkyria looked incredible. I thought both Becky Lynch and Liv Morgan had cool spins on their gear. I actually think it's kind of cool to see how they take advantage of this different gear situation.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you look about like the global reach of now WWE always, and now them traveling, and you got to make sure that when you have any kind of content, you localize for the audience. And that's just the way it is. That's what the culture is in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. And to answer your question, I say, yeah, I remember the first women's match that WWE had. It was Natalya versus Lacey Evans. Remember her? And mm-hmm. It was a giant oversized t-shirt. And I felt like it has evolved now to being able to wear outfits that, yes, adhere to the modesty code, whether it is codified or not, but rather still have your personality as well. People aren't just wearing like burlap sacks or whatever. They get to have a little bit of semblance of the ring gear. I was seeing that last night on SmackDown. Chelsea Green's Saudi attire looked very similar to her normal one, which wouldn't have happened 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, I think it's really cool. I get kind of excited to see how every wrestler is going to do it. And I feel like it gets more and more creative as time goes on. I thought Becky's was very creative tonight. I thought that Liv's was very creative. Again, I think Lyra Valkyria had a very creative setup as well. Nia seemed pretty similar to what she typically wears. So
it slayed.
She was a queen for a reason. So we move on here, and we get Bronson Reed versus Chad Gable versus Sami Zayn for the Intercontinental Championship. Is it still the Intercontinental Championship, Flobo?
It is, Jack. It is. Hockey Talk Man's title. That's what it is.
The Men's Intercontinental Championship.
For now, yeah.
Gable doesn't let Maxine come out and tells Otis to wait for the plan. Another slapper of a match until Gable says to Otis, now's the time. He wants Otis to attack Sami Zayn and Reed, but apparently no problem attacking Bronson Reed. But he has some heart for Sami Zayn. When Otis eventually does try to help, Sami ducks. Otis takes out Gable, and Sami gets the win and is still champion. This was a fun one. Crowd was super happy. I'm left with some questions, though, Flobo.
Me too.
Well, what are your questions? I've been asking all the questions. Why don't you help the conversation?
What? Oh man, carry me, bro. Listen, I like Bronson Reed as much as the next guy, but how many times has this man been in situations where he's been so close? Can't win in Saudi Arabia, didn't even qualify to compete in his own country of Australia. Give the man a chance. And we all knew, even before the match was even going to happen, that this issue was strictly going to revolve Sami Zayn and Chad Gable. It'd be going back and forth for months. This needed to be confined to those opportunities. What happened was, Bronson was a sacrificial lamb for the shenanigans that were happening outside, and Otis just chooses now. He gets the plane ride and flies 10 hours and decides now to have a conscience. Patooey, Jack Farmer.
Laura Rock says, I loved the triple back slam, that triple German suplex there. Yeah, I actually felt bad for, we chat about this to pull back the curtain, texting. Poor Maxine Dupri. She flies all the way over there. She gets her own outfit and then comes out for like 10 seconds and get sent to the back. That's got to be devastating.
I'm taking the first Uber back to LA. I'm just
like, what a bummer to go all the way over there and then be like, actually,
we're fine.
So Maxine, I feel for you. I feel terrible. Hopefully you get to have some fun while you're over there in Jeddah. But what do you think? I'm curious here because one, I can see this going both ways. As we look at the next step of this, is the next step Sami Zayn versus Chad Gable one-on-one, or does Chad Gable now deal with Otis next, and Sami Zayn maybe has a rematch with Reed. How do you think this untangles?
Yeah, absolutely. I do think it'd be an issue if I was Chad Gable to just sever yourself with Otis now, get that rematch, and then hopefully that Otis isn't trying to screw you over a second time. Will it happen? Probably, yeah, because Otis is now stepping out. Whatever it is, you got to keep your eyes on the prize, because you can handle ex-friends as champ. If you're not the champ and you're battling that side quest, you're already outside the picture.
Yeah, so here's my final question for you on this, and everyone in the chat, let me know what you think. Now, clearly, everyone's just waiting for Otis to turn his back on the guy that really helped him, Chad Gable, and, you know, betray him and attack him or something like that. I don't know. I have a feeling Otis may stay on the dark side and may listen to Chad Gable, similar to what Indy Hartwell's doing. Do you think Otis eventually turns on Chad, or do you think he just embraces his dark side?
Can he join Sami Zayn? Look, I hope that Otis finds his own thing, but without Otis, man, he was the heart and soul of the Alpha Academy. I mean, Chad Gable was always a jerk telling us what we're doing wrong with our lives, but when we were looking at Otis, it was fun. But he walks away, then this guy Chad would be absolutely insufferable. Big E said it himself. Any man that had called himself Shorty G is going to have himself a chip on his shoulder. And that's what we saw here tonight. So if I'm Otis, try to get as far away as he can.
Well, GMO says, I think there would have been a lot more story to tell if the Otis interference had paid off. Turning heel for no gain is silly. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think that there's less story because it didn't work?
I think it's a holding pattern situation. I think it's going to be a thing where they're going to replay it on Monday. It's going to be like, this is what happened. Let's get them certain backstage or whatever. And then you're going to have the actual story beat on Monday night. So I do think it's kind of a cheap move if you're into a story kind of thing, into that kind of character beat. But I think the full heel turn or the full reallegiance will happen on Monday.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Well, we get to our first of our tournament finals. Lyra Valkyria versus Nia Jax. Queen of the Ring final. The world Queen of the Ring final, as Flobo would have me say.
Hey.
It's funny because you're right.
You sassy me.
I'm upset about it.
You sassy me, bro.
Lyra Valkyria puts up a big time fight, but Nia Jax wins. She is the queen. Triple H comes out and gives her the crown, and they hug. Then Nia Jax cuts a mean promo saying she'll be the champ at the end of SummerSlam. Flobo, there's a lot of points to bring about this one.
Yes, there is. So yesterday on SmackDown, Nia Jax says, I'm going to buzz through you and buzz through you and have me looking online. Do people say buzz through? Whatever. But Nia Jax said, which was going to
kids do.
I guess so. These are young whippersnappers. They just out there wild in the streets. She gets what she's going to do. She's a new queen in the ring. But the second story here is Lyra Valkyrian. And on Twitter, I actually said this. I go, people are always asking about what people like JR says or people like Gary King Lawler say when they say companies have trouble building new stars. He said, what does that mean? It's not win streaks. What Lyra Valkyria showed today is how you build a star. Whether or not you like Lyra or don't, if she works for you or doesn't, that's up to you as the fan. You have that right. You paid your hard-earned money. But she is in the Middle East. A new draftee from NXT goes all the way in the Queen of the Ring final. She shows up and it's noted as a raven. But if anyone who's ever been to the Middle East region knows how much they revere the falcon. So now you have somebody who's new showing that visual image of not a sacred bird, but a bird that's highly revered. And even in defeat, she pushed Nia to a limit to have to do a new version of her finisher. So whether or not you like Lyra or not, you go, she gave me 120%. And that's how you build stars. So yes, yeah, Nia Jax, Queen of the Ring, Bayley, watch your back. Yeah, whatever. But I think Lyra Valkyrie, her short time on the main roster, has already put her fingerprint on the brand.
Well, that was actually going to be my next question, was about Lyra. And, you know, you and I, we cover a show, we cover NXT on a show called Draped in Gold every single week. And we used to cover NXT UK while it was still around. And we were huge fans of Lyra Valkyrie. At least I recall being a big fan of Lyra Valkyrie. And so in that sense, I talked about this a little bit on Monday. She feels to me a lot like that band that you see before they take off. And then they become big and you're like, it doesn't matter what their new album sounds like. I'm here for them because I've been with them for this whole journey. I'm going to be a Lyra Valkyrie fan probably forever. But as someone who is on the main roster, just new, trying to think of it as someone who is absolutely new, I'm trying to think, like, did they do enough for her with this? And I'm with you. I think that she's someone who showed a lot of heart. I think it's someone who you can get behind. I think that her, we talked about outfits a little bit earlier. I think that her outfit with the wings was the outfit of the night. And I think that she's a future star. This is, you're right. This is how you build a star. And I know that WWE got a lot of flack for it after what happened with WrestleMania and Cody the first time around, but sometimes falling short makes you more beloved by the fans than overcoming.
Yeah, absolutely. I think even in defeat, that's where people go and go, hey, look, this person really impressed me. I like to think of it as a chocolate bar, right? You know how you have a chocolate bar with a little bit of lines and squares and you go, ah, who cares? You eat the whole thing anyway. Yeah, if you're at bar number one and you saw Ava Valkyrie in UK, you can go, that's my girl. If you saw her in NXT, you can go, oh, that's my girl. And if you saw her tonight, there was enough elements there. They brought back the bird brain stuff that she got dragged for to say, here's your re-debut. So you had many different bus stops to get on if you wanted to. There's plenty of characters that come out. They don't do it for me, body. But I think this one works because there are many on-ramps to get on. There's almost a point of discovery. Even though she's been in the WWE system, they'll feel like you discovered her yourself as if you went to an indie show, which I think blueprint for the next generation of stars.
Yeah, and I want to give a shout out to Richie Hodge, by the way, coming through, new subscriber here. Appreciate you coming through, Richie. Hopefully we see you on some of the other shows here. But yeah, Maestro saying Lyra took a hell of a bump with all of Nia's weight. Yeah, that looked incredible. And Adonde said Nia really needed this. She seems like a team player and puts over a lot of smaller women. Good for Nia, and it made Lyra look tough. Good building blocks to a star. I agree completely across the board on that one. I do want to ask, so I guess, long story short, you believe the right person won here.
I actually had pegged Lyra to win the whole thing, but I thought about this, and it's probably by saying the kind of ruins the vibe, that historically, faces don't win the King of the Ring tournament, because it's really a role that you have to lord over people, no pun intended, for months on end, which just fits heels, Baron Corbin, etc. So I guess in hindsight, it was the wrong decision, but I think for a brand new competitor to the main roster, she did the best she could have done.
This is something I thought was interesting. I kind of want your thoughts on it, because I'm of two minds of it. At the end, Triple H comes out, and he gives Nia Jax a big hug, and they share a really kind of special moment, you know, for a moment there. And you could tell it's important to Nia. And then she, of course, cuts her promo. What are your thoughts on Triple H coming out and having that personal moment? I felt like it upped the emotional stakes. And it made me feel like, oh, this really was a big moment. I'm super happy for her. But with her being on the bad guy side of things, was that okay?
Yeah.
Or like, how do you feel about that? Because like I said, I'm kind of two minds. I liked it, but at the same time, I'm like, do we want to be sympathizing with Nia if she's supposed to be a bad guy?
I think we're not supposed to sympathize with Nia at all, but I really think this is more of selling the event and the event's importance to people who may not be familiar with the tournament. So like, you're saying we're doing King and Queen of the Ring first time in 3 years. The last time was also in Saudi Arabia. You don't want to be like, I won. Back to you, Jimmy. Or Jimmy's not here anymore. Back to you, Michael Cole. So I do think that a little of that regalia stuff, having Triple H come out, was kind of selling the event wholesale. But if this is going to be the summer of Nia on the SmackDown brand, then it all works out.
It's the You say wholesale. That reminds me, speaking of this matchup, there's a line I think a lot of us thought was going to get said when Nia Jax hit the ring apron very hard at one point. And she didn't say it, but I feel like we all heard it in our head. Flobo, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yep. My hole. I was looking for that. And I was like, I was all for that. Or even like, oh, man, again. Like I was... But hey,
it's so funny. That's what I love about wrestling. That's why a lot of people say I'm overly positive and whatnot on the show. But that's because so often I look back and the things that at the time, like when that happened, so many people are rolling their eyes and what is this? But now we look back and it makes us giggle and laugh and it's fun. And it's it's great. Like, so all the people who were crabby about it before, it's like, yes, now it's fun. Who cares? It's great.
Exactly. That's going to be a part of a legacy forever. Like World Slide, also in Saudi Arabia.
Yes. The Nia Jax Bayley championship match, SummerSlam. Is it Nia Jax's time? Your way too early prediction.
Yes. But I do feel like Bayley should have another mini feud in there. So it seems more like a clash of the Titans. Bayley's still in the afterglow of Mania. And if it happened now or that was her next defense, it'd be like, oh, okay, whatever. Traditional champ. But if Bayley takes down Tiffany Stratton or somebody on that side for 2 months and then has that match, then there you go.
Yeah. And I want to give a shout out to Ed Shields saying, again, thank you, Jack Farmer and Flobo Boys, for taking your time out of your day to be doing this and let us all enjoy the review. Of course, man. Thank you guys for being here. This is just be me and Flobo yapping if it weren't for you guys.
Do it anyway, but good thing we do it for an audience.
My text messaging rates would be going through the roof right now because I
still pay per text. What the heck is going on over there?
2003.
Goodbye, sir.
Let me open it up real quick. I'll hit the letter 5-4 times to get to the letter I want.
Oh no, that's T9. Oh gosh, when was that old?
GMO, by the way, says Nia winning probably means she's joining the bloodline. I disagree with that, but Flobo, do you think she's joining the bloodline?
I do think she's joining the bloodline. Why not? Why the heck not? Because especially now that
I mean, that's a terrible. There's a lot of things I can say why not to.
But I didn't say that and say my point is over, Jack. I was like, why not? Back to you. I was going to explain. Why not? No, look, man, you have this division. The women's division is dominant. They don't really have anyone from that bloodline faction. People are looking at Naomi, but both Usos aren't there. You look about this new kind of recruiting, rebuilding version of the bloodline. I do think that if you want to double down, I know we're in a down period. If you want to double down and have a second chapter and have a new bloodline dominate the storylines like it did last year, now would be the time to have a presence in as many divisions as possible. And of course, there's nothing wrong with having women talent adjacent to the male talent when it comes to storylines. You look at B-Fab, who really wasn't doing much until now she's rolling with the Street Profits and Lashley, which is slightly more than she's doing before. So I like her doing that. I think her winning the tournament makes it irrelevant. She can join without winning the tournament, but I do foresee Nia Jax joining the bloodline at some point in time.
Interesting. Do you guys think, let me know in the chat and in the comments, do you think that Nia Jax should join the bloodline? I'd love to know your guys' thoughts on that. Obviously she has that dominant factor to her that makes her fit in very well there. Adonde has a follow-up question for you, Flobo. If she did join the bloodline, how would you use her? You can't say run roughshod.
Yeah. Because I wouldn't come out of square.
You're not a... Okay, in the chat, if someone says they're not a square, are they in fact a square?
Hey, I am hip and with it, sir. I don't know what you're talking about. I am cool. No,
it is the kids who are out of touch.
Yeah, it's the kids who are out of touch. Hello, fellow children. So you think about Nia Jax, you'll have anyone with a side adjacent character get in their way. So if I was... a Tiffany Stratton and I in someone's face and I want a matchup and Nick Aldis is not now and she tries to force her way in and someone goes, hey, look, I was talking because I am Tama Tonga. You know what? You bought yourself a match with Nia Jax. So basically the enforcer for that women's division to really be like the Undertaker. Oh, dang, you got a match with Nia Jax this Friday. Because the problem with Nia was historically as big as she was, not to just in all due respect, she lost a whole lot. But if someone goes, oh, yeah, you've done it now. I'm calling my girl Nia for you. That's a whole other level for somebody.
Well, Hab Guy says, if they say they are not a square, they are, in fact, a triangle. I consider myself a dodecahedron myself.
Oh, okay. You're not that complicated. You're rhombus. Well, sounds like an insult, but it's actually a shape. You're a rhombus.
You're a rhombus.
I didn't mean, I'm sorry, Dan. I didn't mean
that. Yeah, that was very mean. I mean, I know we tease each other, but geez, Louise. Oh,
we'll be back tomorrow. Yes.
Ed Shield says, head of the table is where she belongs. Tommy O says, definitely not. Laura Rock says, yes, she's related to the final boss. So, yeah, a lot of, Ed Shield says, you are not a rhombus.
What shape is Jack Palmer?
That's our new, that's our... I hate how I don't even know how many sides a rhombus has.
It's four. All squares are rhombuses, but all rhombuses are square. Did you not go to class, bro?
No, I'm just cool. I was too busy. I was partying.
Yeah, you're in a parking lot? Yeah, no time for class. I'm just...
Skipping school will totally pay off. One day, totally I'll be on a pro wrestling podcast.
Suckers.
While all my friends are stupid doctors and lawyers.
I'll talk with the bloodline.
We got Gunther taking on Randy Orton for the King of the Ring final. This absolutely has been an off-the-wall episode, by the way, between us. This has been off the rails.
What we do, man. What wrestling?
So Gunther, Randy Orton, this match, in my opinion, is pro wrestling hitting on every single level. You had the storytelling, you had the great wrestling, you had the stakes, you had the commentary. I felt like every single thing just clicked. Gunther gets the ring and gets the win and is the King General.
Don't call him that.
I've been calling the King General for a while now, and then Michael Cole said it, and I was like, did he steal it from me? And I know he didn't, but I want to pretend he did. I'd like to pretend he listened to the show and stole it. He absolutely didn't, but I kind of wish he did.
King General sounds like $2 stores that merged. Don't call him that. That's cheap.
But they got great deals.
King General? It's not even real.
It does feel like where you would get like those temporary table linens for a kid's party.
The plastic ones, yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. So this one, I want your thoughts on this one. Of course, the story seems to be the shoulder being up at the end of the match. Sure. But I want your thoughts on the match. And also, they called this a dream match. And I want your opinion on if, in your definition, this qualified as what would be considered a dream match. Obviously, it's a good one. But is the setup, was it a dream match?
Are you saying like it on paper or after it has concluded? Do I consider it a dream match?
Like on paper, Gunther versus Randy Orton, is that a dream? Would you qualify that as a dream match? Because and I should say, to set the table on this King General linen we bought,
it's a hole in it.
You know, because some people say a dream match is like Bruno Sammartino versus Goldberg, or people who maybe you wouldn't have gotten to see before, or something like that. Some people just say two people who are really good and go together. In your opinion, does this fit what you would call a dream match?
Okay, this is going to sound like a total cop-out, and I apologize in advance. It is a dream match, yes, not a dream match for me. And the reason that my category for when it comes to dream matches, yeah, you could combine eras, but to me, those are kind of like fantasy matches in so much that they can't happen. You can't get Prime Bruno and you can't get Prime Stone Cold together. That doesn't make any sense. But if you have two different sides of the wrestling spectrum, you're like, oh man, I don't know how these two guys would even get together, or I can't even imagine them being together, and they're put together. That to me is the dream, which is why, you know, personally, I was a huge advocate for Worlds Collide, because when that happened, it was two separate interpromotions having contests. And I go, these are all dream matches to me. The match, I don't think, was quite there, but I will say the fanfare was amazing. I mean, we got the post-backlash glow. Everyone's singing Randy Orton's name. Gunther is a walking spectacle unto himself, even despite the fact he dropped the weight. I was watching some of his old German matches where he was 300 pounds. It was a different kind of force. Everything looked good, and I'm so glad they gave the time it deserved.
Yeah, it's so funny. When he first started losing weight, I was like, they're ruining him. Come on. It worked out. Yeah. I like what Adonde says here. Randy was always tall, but with masks now, he looks bigger than everyone. Great match. I was thinking that watched this. I was like, geez, he's kind of like Billy Gunn, and that every time you see him standing, someone like, how big is this guy?
He's huge.
Randy Orton, when are you going to bust out choke slams? I think you're getting to that size where you're a choke slam guy, right? Oh, at a certain height, I feel like choke slams are a required moveset, right?
I guess. Remember when he used to do that, the Luthes press, but his whole body would like snap back? Imagine one of those choke slams, like, you know what I mean? Just one of those spiky ones.
He used to that, cool like back neck breaker thing where he'd like fall on his knees. I love that move.
Yeah, it's like a very long and lanky, but I have like the muscles for it. Yeah, why not?
Why did he stop doing those?
Age, probably.
That's probably a good answer. That's why we stopped doing everything. Maria says you're wrong, says it 100% is a dream match.
Yeah, Jack.
Maria says modern times dream match.
This one was I
really enjoyed it. I thought it was really great in every category. One of the things I really like too is like some of the details, like how Kevin Owens helped Randy Orton to the back, but wasn't really even that much of a shown thing. It just filled in those little gaps of like, oh yeah, they're friends. Those kind of things are so important. And I think it was really cool to see them add those in. Something that stood out to me a bit is, and I noticed it was mentioned here in the chat as well. I want to make sure I shout it out. Reaper Brink. Jack, Gunther would not put on that crown. I noticed that too. Gunther did not put the crown on. What were your thoughts about that?
You know what? It probably is a character beat, but I was like, yeah, it was too small for Nia's head. And Gunther was like, I am messing up his hair. Nope, I ain't even trying it. But yeah, I respect some Matt and all that chance. Yep.
Yeah. Do you think Gunther's hair is like just gelled down or is it just wet?
It is. It is definitely wetted down than sprayed product. Has to be.
Because, yeah, usually if it's just wetted down, it starts to get the Ric Flair thing where it's sticking up and going crazy.
Woo!
Of course, the story, like I said, Randy Orton, his shoulder was up by quite a bit. What are your thoughts on this? This is one of those deals where...
Jill is freaking out in the chat. Come on, guys! He wants a bit. I love Ed. All the things are coming
up. Don't worry, Ed. We'll get there.
Shame on you guys. Shame.
Yeah.
I was a lot of shit in my life, but okay.
Right. And so, yeah, as I was saying, it was a clean pin. Gunther gets the win. There's no real...
Yeah. See you next time, man. Crown Jewel. Yeah.
No, but... So I guess first off, I want you to just, I guess there's a lot to take away from it. Is it supposed to be that way? And if it was supposed to be that way, was it executed properly? I feel like this is where I wish we had Jimmy Corderas on. I'm sure Reffing Rant is going to be heated with Jimmy Corderas, but let me know your thoughts.
So plausible deniability is going to be the name of the game because Randy Orton's shoulders were not down. The ref was in position, but somehow missaw one shoulder being up, but Gunther's head was turned. So Gunther can say it wasn't my intent and I can open up a rematch, but what's already is done. No one has ever put their King of the Ring title on the line. We've seen King of the Rings go on terrible losing streaks thereafter. So it's already lost, but this can open up something a year from now where we go, this all started in Saudi Arabia 9 months ago. So I'm on board with that. It definitely felt like that was part of the idea because Gunther wasn't even looking at the shoulders, which is very unlike him in his history, his career.
Someone put the title on the line, the King of the Ring title on the line before. I think it was like, didn't Macho Man win it that way or lose it that way? It was something.
Let me know in the chat because nothing comes to my mind. But if I am wrong, I will gladly or begrudgingly.
Roger Geary would know. I want to say, Kate, like Macho King started because he beat someone for it outside of the tournament, but I could be wrong. I'm a terrible wrestling historian, so I could be wrong about that. But the ref saw the shoulder was up. I mean, that's the. If it's a storyline, I get it. But it was, and sometimes I think you just have to go with what you, Maestro says Hacksaw beat Macho Man. That's what it was.
That's what it was. Okay.
Yeah. So
I am corrected. Thank you.
Maybe if you didn't beleaguer the point about the Raw championship earlier, I would have let that one slide.
But I get sassy and say they were wrong in the chat? No,
in this business, they call that a receipt, Flobo.
I also botched too, but okay. I'm not smart. That's why they hired me.
We're pros here. I would say speaking of people getting something wrong, I will say the ref was like, it was like he did too good of a job getting positioned where it was like, dude,
right. You
are like, how do you like, I think he probably meant to be like positioned a little differently or something. Sure. Or I don't know. It's one of those things in the grand scheme of things. I'll be honest, guys. I don't care. I get it. I know where they're going with it. It's fine. But I know that some people get very hung up on it. And of course, Jimmy Corderas, I know, probably had like his head getting red and like steam lines coming off because of the messed up refereeing.
Jimmy the cartoon Corderas.
He wasn't that upset, but you know what I mean? Like the people who really care about those details probably got upset. I feel like it was okay. In the chat, did you guys feel like, are you in the chat? Let me know if you're in the side of, I get it. Or are you in the side? Like, no, they should have changed it and done something on the fly.
So
and
I Flova, look at
what's your thought.
I look at the Randy Orton thing where it's like, I think he has a point in his career. We want to give him some flowers and accolades. And this would have been great for his career. He doesn't need it. He's already a made man. So you really want to look at the Gunther side or Gunther. I get they use names both. I'm not sure which one's the right one. I'll say Gunther. At least the Gunther side. But I would say the fact that Gunther was even in position to see him cheat or him do the false pin can still give him that almost an ego trip where he's like, I have to beat Orton again the way the mat would have allowed me to. So that opens up a rematch either by Adam Pearce saying, or both general managers saying, here's a rematch, or by one of them having an ego cross-brand saying, here's a cross-brand attraction match. I got to beat you again.
That's fair enough. I go with it. It says, I think Jimmy had 500 tweets about it.
Ooh, that's on par. Yeah.
Adonis saying we needed Jimmy today, man. The OG. Yeah, Jimmy, why are you taking the day off, huh?
I know, right?
We got news right after this. Drew McIntyre is cleared, and he will be facing Damian Priest in Glasgow at Clash at the Castle. Is this Damian Priest time, or will he be singing Sweet Caroline with Tyson Fury after the show?
Oh, he'll never let that down. That is the Mae Young hand of Drew McIntyre. To me, I thought of Drew as being like slipping Triple H a couple of dollars. Listen, I'm cleared, right? Yeah, talk about receipts, right? Like we last time we were in the UK for Clash of the Castle, there were some of us out there who thought he was going to be the world champion after beating Roman Reigns. That person was Jack Farmer. Got it way wrong.
No, you totally got it way wrong.
I sweeped that one. For the ones. But yeah, it's all time for receipts. Damian Priest's title run. I hate to be so early and call things. I like to look at things from a longer period of time, but it has gained zero traction. Cody Rhodes had a little bit of a reprieve of respect in his thing, being like, look, you're still the son of Dusty Rhodes. You're still the champ. Here's your afterglow. When Priest won, the shock was gone. And then it was, well, who's next? And so I do think Drew McIntyre has a mission. It's against CM Punk. And to elevate that, he has to be champ.
Now, there's been some rumblings or at least some predictions on the Raw after show that maybe CM Punk costs Drew McIntyre at Clash in the Castle. The crowd would obviously not give a good reaction to CM Punk in that situation. Do you think that CM Punk could get booed that heavily and then still come back to the States and be a good guy?
I think he'll get booed. I think, but CM Punk is enough of a rascal that he can come and say, oh, I'm sorry, guys, and come back stateside and get that love and adoration. Now, if for some reason Cody Rhodes did that, it would be such an egregious act. He'd be like, Cody, what the hell are you doing, man? But knowing the UK audience and knowing what it meant to Drew McIntyre, if he goes to the UK in two separate Clash the Castles and loses both times, I don't think Scott will win a third. They're like, you know what? Yeah. Keep it, mate. We're fine. You know what I mean? So he has to win.
So yeah, I got a feeling Drew's gonna win that one. It'll be really good for him, but it'll be fun to watch one way or the other. WWE has been so good about making these shows that typically weren't spicy into just fun events.
Yeah, Backlash is the biggest thing. I think like that was always the pay-per-view used to write off and be like, oh, that's only Backlash. And now it's like, where are you going? Who's gonna be there? Bad Bunny? What? France? You know?
Yeah, yeah. And every time they make us Americans look bad. So Cody Rhodes taking on Logan Paul for the WWE title, not the US title, just the WWE title. Cody's ribs get rocked. Logan uses the brass knuckles. Michael Cole almost gets knocked out by Logan Paul at one point. The ref does get knocked out. The ring announcer gets involved. Cody gets the win and retains. This was a different type of this is what pro wrestling is to me kind of matchup. Lots of stuff. I thought it was very enjoyable. I feel like if Jimmy Corderas was here, he might compare the amount of potatoes that could fit into a single sack. What were your thoughts?
If you were a fan of Ruthless Aggression era wrestling, this was your love letter, man. Like, I thought for sure Cole would have dropped the back fist. I thought the prime bottle would have showed up. I thought Pyro would have gone off and distracted people. Lights would have gone out, bloodbaths, whatever. It was so many shenanigans for this. And the fact that made the secondary story was, can Logan Paul do it without brass knuckles? It's so beyond the pale. It's like, so, it's like almost like you made it up in a bar somewhere. And it was fun. It was fun. We kind of, or I kind of knew, with both titles not being on the line, it was basically an overgrown exhibition match. I kind of felt the Cody was going to retain, but the ride I got there was still fun. It was kind of like being in a roller coaster and having like two lap bars. You're not going to die. Just put your hands up and have a good time.
Who is going to be Cody's first dangerous threat? Because I don't think anyone really thought AJ was going to win. I don't think anyone really thought Logan Paul was going to win. Who do you think is going to be that first person that he faces that you're like, ooh, this could be the one?
I don't know. If I had the book, if he, not knowing how serious the injury is, reinvigorated Bobby Lashley to me would print money. Because here is somebody that was a former WWE champion. He was unstoppable when he was champion. That'd be kind of a cool test of being like, he may actually lose this. But the problem with Cody's story now is that it took so long to get there. You kind of don't see anyone in that spot. The mid cards are pretty much fine. If you look at someone like LA Knight, you can't face him. LA Knight has way too many losses, even though people still love him. There's not many people in that roster. I would definitely have Bobby Lashley. I was writing the book.
How many people? So this is going to be kind of a weird, tough question. If
you're tough,
let's say Cody Rhodes, his next challenger is another one where we're like, eh, he's going to beat this one, this person, you know, mm-hmm. and then maybe one more, where he's probably going to beat this person. And then he has that first real tough opponent. Let's say it's Roman Reigns coming back, whatever, and he loses that match.
Sure.
Is it kind of a lost title run, or is it still like, hey, he kept it for a while, defended it a few times, it's all good? Or does he need to actually go through some people that we're going to go, he might lose before we believe in this champion? Does that make sense?
That is a difficult question, because the person who had the title before him in Roman Reigns had one of the longest, if not the longest, title reigns of all time. So anything will look like a stop down. I try to compare it to Kofi's reign, because Kofi was a squeaky clean baby face, and this title reign was about 6 months. But you kind of felt that you were playing after curfew because it was Kofi, because it was somebody who was slotted in kind of late. It could have ended any time. It could have been Dolph Ziggler. It could have been Randy Keith Orton. They're all former champions. With Cody, because we saw him lose at Mania last year and we saw the Fincher story, it almost seems like it would be almost like not part of the plan for him to lose early enough. And this is why you have wrestling fans who watch wrestling matches going, oh, in 9 months, next Mania, The Rock is available when Roman comes back, because we don't want Cody to get rolled up by Akira Tozawa at a house show event, because we feel like we've earned whatever that challenge may be. And so week to week, there isn't anyone there now on either roster that can do that for him, save for Damian Priest. But he's also a champion in his own right, on another show entirely.
So do you think SummerSlam he's going to, because a lot of people are predicting SummerSlam, Drew McIntyre, CM Punk. And I feel like that's going to be a main event. Sure. Like it's gotta be the biggest story, but do you think Cody could have a dangerous opponent at SummerSlam? Do you think someone like The Rock comes back? Like a lot of people are predicting it. Let's just have some fun. Some funsies. Is The Rock coming back for SummerSlam?
The answer is no. As much as I love SummerSlam, The Rock's not coming back to Cleveland. Not at all. Even if The Rock wanted to, that's a name that sells WrestleMania tickets. And you know The Rock isn't immortal. He is over 50. You don't want to burn so much time with him in his schedule. I would save him for WrestleMania. I would say this. I don't even know who the players are going to be, so don't ask the follow-up question. Please don't do that. But if it's going to be Drew McIntyre and Punk on one side, it's definitely going to be a multi-man match on the other to show that Cody can beat the men many odds at once. But how many times can you see Kevin Owens pinned or LA Knight pinned till we go, we don't believe anybody on this roster anymore?
Right. Well, they said the same thing about Roman Reigns when he was champion, and that seemed to work out okay.
Yeah, but he had a lengthy absence, and he took a title off somebody who wasn't working in Braun Strowman. That's so many stars aligned for that to work. You know what I mean? Like, it won't happen for a long time.
Heard it here first. Flobo says that Roman Reigns just got lucky.
No, wait. No. That's a rhombus, I swear.
So I think that covers it for this PLE. I had a blast chatting with you, Flobo. I can't wait to do it again.
Whoa. What was your favorite match tonight there, Jackery?
My favorite was Gunther versus Orton.
Okay.
I really liked was that clean as a whistle win. That was my favorite.
Stop trolling that crowd, man. You don't think it's these after shows anymore.
No, I think that one was my favorite. What about you? What was your favorite? In the chat, everyone let me know your favorite.
I was a fan of the Intercontinental Championship match. I really thought it would be Bronson Reed's time. That was the same prediction Michael Cole had, but we were both wrong. But I think from a wrestling science thing, the fact how they presented Lyra Valkyria was very, very important to see what the next chapter is for the next stars of WWE. So I'd like to check that out after this.
So what was your favorite? You just
triple threat match was my favorite.
Okay.
But I liked how Lyra was presented on her way to her match.
Okay. Is it comfortable sitting on the fence, Flobo?
Yeah, it's great. It's kind of squishy. You
know? Ed Shield says the triple threat. Baby I says it. Cody versus Logan. Maria says Gunther versus Randy. So does Syed. If I'm saying that tonight, I apologize. Syed Abdullah. And then Sindrick, the matches were all great, but Cody versus Logan Paul. The Intercontinental and women's match. Laura, you got to pick one. You can only pick one.
Yeah, which one's match? The tag?
Cody Logan. Ed says Flobo's on fire.
Hey!
And Tommy O says, thanks for doing the show. I hope Wrestling continues these PLE shows. I'm glad you mentioned that, Tommy O, because we will be back on after for the AEW Double or Nothing. We're kind of doing a Double or Nothing on this weekend, Flobo.
Heck yeah. Hang out with you, Jack. It's great.
So before we go, though, let me know your final thoughts and where can the world find you online, Flobo?
Well, Jack and I combine like Voltron every Wednesday to break down NXT content on a little show we call Draped in Gold. Learn more at drapedingold.com. And of course, I'm on that X at Flobo Voice.
Yeah, we combine like Voltron. The problem is there's only two of us. There needs to be five of us for us to fully be Voltron. We're an arm and a leg. And we just
no one gets the reference at all. But the fact you said this is a dumb reference means so much more to me. Means so much more to me. Thank you.
We're just a flying lion and another lion shaped
two
like
arms.
Just floating around. Why were lions turning into a walking robot? That's
Japan, man. Don't ask questions. Don't ask questions. I'm hip.
We are 100 years old. But for me, you can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. And again, you can find those Jack Farmer t-shirts at jackcfarmer.com.
Who's buying
again,
those?
Very limited. I got a box in here.
No one's buying those. No one should buy those.
Once the box is empty, these guys are gone.
Do you have conversations with it? Do you tell it, yes, as well?
Yeah, so like, he's like, oh, yes, like, oh, yeah, what would you like to speak about today?
Did you make your chin thinner? What the heck is going on in that picture?
Did I give you a 5-star review yet today? No, not yet. Head on over to Apple Podcasts right now.
Don't encourage him, guys. Don't do that.
You know what? Our audio listeners have no idea what just happened.
Absolutely.
But that does it for us. Make sure to follow at Wrestling Inc. for all your wrestling news. Make sure to like, comment, share, subscribe, 5-star review. And also make sure to check us out tomorrow after AEW Double or Nothing, where we're going to cover that show. It's going to be a fun time. Appreciate y'all. I'm hitting the end stream button.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.